Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of May, in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming along. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Let me give you the phone numbers if you are so inclined to interface with us in any fashion today. It's 503-733-2970 for your comments, clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. 503-733-2970. You'd like to email, you can do that as well. By golly, it's honestly just this simple, kids. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Thank you for coming along. It is Wednesday. All right. Now, you know how normally I come in, and this is the part of the show where I insert the speech about how I'm running behind, how I'm juggling 15 things in the air at once, I'm multitasking. I've got many irons in the fire, many fingers in many pots. Today, that is true, but to an exponential degree. It's one of those days where the minute my mucklucks hit the floor this morning, I've been running like 45 minutes behind. You know what I mean? It's like you wake up at 7 o'clock, you got stuff you're supposed to be doing at noon. You get here at noon, it's like it's already 3. By the end of Wednesday, it's at least Sunday. That's how the day is. I'm not going to let it show, though. I'm going to shine through in the manner in which I do all things because I am a professional. That's how I roll. Anyway, a huge show today. So here's what's going to be happening today. We're going to enter the noon news hour here. Just a few. We'll go to the city desk with Tim Riley. Later on, we got Charles Ross, the man behind One Man Star Wars. He'll be here impressing geeks and alienating women everywhere. That would be my estimation of the situation, anyway. That's coming up later on today. We got the CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop. We'll be talking to Jim Roop later on and Gary Baumgarten. We're going to be talking to Gary Baumgarten because I guess because children everywhere are becoming a rotund balls of lard. Apparently, there's just morbid obesity that's sweeping the country like a big sweeping thing. So they're going to be... I really don't know what they're going to be doing. It's just really just a chance to have a guy from CNN on to make Oompa Loompa jokes. That's really all it is. So Gary Baumgartner going to be joining us later on. We'll be talking to Jim Root because there must be some law. I don't know whether it is some codicil, some statute passed at some point. Like in Los Angeles, your team wins something. Apparently, there's sort of like a one from column A, one from column B kind of a thing that happens with professional sports teams. Not so much here. In Portland, although I guess we would actually have to win stuff in the Northwest. See, that's the kind of this is the double-edged sword. This is the whole thing. It cuts both ways about our professional athletes here. We can't succeed in anything here in the Northwest sports-wise. We are sort of, it's just a whole lot of almosting. Trailblazers almost win stuff. Seahawks almost get into the playoffs for like 25 years. Then they get to the Super Bowl. They almost win something. Not quite. But the other side of that, of course, is that while we lead the country in almost victories that become incredible defeats, we also lead the country in not setting stuff on fire and blowing up police cars after said celebrations. But in Los Angeles, it's some rules. Like, you win something, you either got to go shoot somebody in the face, you got to set something on fire, or in this case, these are just reports, of course, that Los Angeles Lakers center, blah, 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 Brown... Apparently, he won a game, and then he celebrated by going out and beating somebody with a tire iron or shooting somebody.
It's part of their multiculturalism.
It's part of the new spirit of Los Angeles.
Yes, it is.
Shoving somebody through a fine mesh screen, something. These are all allegations. We'll find out more. It's just another reason to be glad that you don't live in California anymore. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. What else? Coming up, we have... the Xbox Files. We're going to talk about rising country star Jon Bon Jovi. And did you hear this? You hear this right here? I'm speaking to you from behind an impenetrable wall of news.
And not just any old kind of news. This is some of the most gripping, insightful, edgy news you've ever heard
in your life, to use the marketing parlance.
News is so, it's so much news, it's kind of like that XK20 invisible shield they used to use on Colgate teeth. Except it's news, you don't put it on your teeth, and it's here and not on television. Other than that, exactly like the XK20 Colgate shield. We will get to these stories and more today, plus your phone calls, your email. We got another installment of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. It is all on the way, ladies and gentlemen. Plus, like us at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7, etc. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, holding things together at the Nerve Center, the Command Post, the linchpin, the nucleus of this, the Rick Emerson radio program. How are you?
This computer could not be more messed up today.
Okay. Good to see you keeping a positive outlook.
Hey, I fixed it.
Walking
it's flawless.
On the bright side of life. Let me just tell you, you may have heard, there's a little technical term called a burp. And a burp is, it means two different things. A burp is, from the old days of radio, when we played everything on carts, and carts were sort of like 8-track singles. They were like this big, they looked exactly like an 8-track, and they had tape inside of them. You would shove them in, you would hit the button, the commercial would play, and then it would queue up again at the beginning. But if you did not put adequate space, like a second or so of dead air at the beginning of the commercial, when it queued up again, you would hear the very beginning of the commercial start to play again for like a quarter of a second at the beginning. And if the commercial would end and you hear that, and that was called a burp. And we just had one of those at the top of the hour because I was having to play something manually off the computer because the two screens in front of Sarah, which are normally set up with the greatest of efficiency and accuracy, are today just a jumbled hodgepodge of crap. Nothing's where it's supposed to be. Nothing's making any sense.
And then I'm going through the list trying to find them, and we have about 500 files, none of which are in any kind of order, and the printing is about, you know, like half a centimeter tall.
And so I come in literally because I've been running behind all day today. And by the way, if it sounds like I'm making justifications in advance for a lackluster and slipshod program today, you're just going to have to figure that out on your own. But I come in today literally with like 5 seconds to spare, and I say, okay, get ready to fire those three things in exactly the right order, Sarah. And she just sort of gives me that. It's not so much a deer caught in the headlights as it is sort of a deer that's going up that, like a cow that's going up to the ramp to the thing where they hit it with the thing and then it becomes a hamburger. Anyway, so she pulled it off, though, because that's what she does, because she is Sarah Dillon. At the City Desk, preparing the following stories for your edification today is the one and only Tim Riley.
An Armenian Airbus jetliner plunges into the Black Sea. There's an earthquake in Tonga. A teacher who moonlights as a wrestler is charged with breaking a girl's neck and leaving her in the woods to die. A charity accountant is charged with embezzling funds to pay an Ohio dominatrix to beat him senseless.
Good times, friends. That's why you've made the choice for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Because everything else has an appalling lack of dominatrixes beating guys. It's going to be our new position. All right, 503-733-2970. Or you can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. And by the way, I should note that me running behind has nothing to do with... I did everything within my power to try to get to bed like a normal human being last night. The season finale of Thief on FX played. I got it done. I got it watched. I eschewed the Xbox. I got a little bit of production work done. And then I went to bed. But then it's that thing where you wake up in the morning. Do you ever wake up in the morning and then you realize that you did everything on the list except the single most time-consuming item, which has to be done? Because in this case, I realized that it's a long story. I had no lunch. Anyway, so I had to go to the store. And you go to, and if you, let me just tell you this. If you ever want to feel like you've just stepped into a John Waters film, you just go to a Safeway at like 1 a.m. In southeast Portland. It really is just like you fell into some alternate reality. You've woken up inside a David Lee Roth video where everybody's a little too tall, a little too fat, a little too much makeup, hair in odd places. They're speaking some language you don't understand, and everybody's just buying a bottle of lube and a big Hickory Farm smoke stick. And that's it. That's all you're surrounded by. So I'm there last night, and I got all my foodstuffs, as we used to say in school, and then I picked up a copy of the new Inquirer. This is how lame I am. I picked up a copy of the Inquirer and a copy of the People because it's got the 100 most beautiful, and because I can't bring myself to subscribe, because then the postman's gonna have to bring it to my house, and I'll be filled with shame about my lackluster reading material. And so I'm there, and here's what I'm buying. I'm walking through the store, I've got all my healthy food, and then, like, cradled in the crook of my other arm, I've got the Inquirer, the People magazine, and then like a big bottle of spray cheese. And of course, because I'm me, and so therefore nothing can really go accurately or correctly in my life, that's the day when the hot cashier is working. So I'm right there, because normally it's this woman, she's got like one tooth and like a black eye all the time, and she's the one who checks me out. A rat's ass if I impress her.
Like that one-eyed cat.
Exactly like a one-eyed cat. Because everybody who works the late-night shift at the Safeway, there's the woman with one tooth, there's the woman that, she has the flipper arm, and then there's like the one hot clerk that wrote, like you get her one out of every 500 times. And of course, that's what I get last night. Hair all sticking up. Basically wearing a glorified wife beater, buying spray cheese and a copy of the Inquirer. And then right behind me, the two most, I don't want to talk about it. All I want to say is that when you're going to the store to buy a spare toothbrush, you're obliged to walk by that aisle that's nothing but condoms and lubricants. And here's what you don't want to have happen. You don't want to walk by and just see two of the stoutest, hairiest lesbians you've ever seen in your entire life. Just legs like redwoods. All the way down to the floor, and you can just hear the sneakers screaming with every step that they take. And they're sitting there, each of them holding two or three different varieties of intimate moisteners, discussing the various sundry attributes of either. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, here's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson New News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
I just noticed we forgot to introduce Sarah Dillon. I do want to do that.
I introduced Sarah Dillon. Where were you?
I must have missed it.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
Just busy shooting up in a closet.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Amazing, we were just talking about Armenia yesterday, and then an Armenian passenger jet crashes into the Black Sea. All 113 people on board are dead. The plane was rented. They didn't own it.
Really, the best part, though, is how you are ostensibly the news director of the station, gathering news about things that happen in far-flung places. I introduced Sarah 2 feet away from you 5 minutes ago, and it apparently just slipped out of your brain like it was coated in Mazola.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
Just checking. Where was the plane?
It plunged into the Black Sea.
Okay.
These people are on their way to a Black Sea vacation.
Come vacation in lovely Armenia, won't you? Come out.
Hey, those are Kristen from Accounting's people.
Bring your family to lovely Azerbaijan.
If you're going
to
plunge into something, the Black Sea's pretty scary.
Doesn't Black Sea sound like one of those things that you have to go by to get the Mordor, and there's like a huge tentacled creature trying to take the one ring to rule them all?
The worst part is now they have to find the black box in the Black Sea.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm serious.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. Okay. Like, can we have to thank you?
Then there's been an earthquake in Tonga. It's an 8.0. A police officer in Tonga's capital of Nuku'alofa said there are no immediate reports of damage or a tsunami.
Here's the whole thing about Tonga. Tonga is an island that is about the size of this room.
Are several Tonga islands.
Is it collective? It's sort of like
Mount
Ararat.
There's a whole handful of them.
Well, but it's like Mount Ararat. You know, there's always, like every time you turn on A&E, there's some pinhead searching for Noah's Ark. And there, it's the Bible says it on top of Mount Ararat. When they don't realize it's Mount Ararat. Geography geek section. Mount Ararat is actually not one mountain. It's a whole section of mountain. No one cares. Anyway, the point is that Tonga, the main island of Tonga anyway, and I think it's set up like Hawaii, where there's the quote, the big island, and then there's all the other scattered islands. But if you look at Tonga, it literally, it's like 6 inches wide and like 100 miles. It's like you're living on a big L or something, like a big lowercase L floating in the ocean. Tonga is another one of those places where for years, all of their money, I think, has just come from drugs and grass skirts. Mm-hmm. And now, because they got that .to domain name, every guy out there who wants to set up some porn site that's like the Pam Anderson 2 or something, you know, they go to Tonga. But, you know, one good quake. Really, just one good breeze to wipe out that entire place, man.
I was surprised at all your knowledge of Tonga.
Here's why I know about Tonga. Because I lived in Salt Lake City, and Salt Lake City is filled with Tongan people. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a whole lot of... Because, you know, Salt Lake City's got a weird demographic makeup because you think it's overwhelmingly white, which it is. In that way, it is sort of the Midwest's answer to Anaheim, where you land there and everybody's got dazzling teeth and everybody's got perfectly coiffed hair and they all wear multiple layers of clothing and they look like they stepped out of a J. Crew catalog. But then because they do so much missionary work, obviously the churches, because if you're a Mormon or if you're somebody who was converted to become a new member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that is the Vatican City. To the Mormons. And so you get people from all over the world. Strangely enough, some of the best ethnic food you will ever get in your life. If you want to get the Thai food, Tongan food, Chinese food, Vietnamese food, whatever, you go to Salt Lake because people from those countries are converted. Bam! Got to go there, live by the temple. So,
what would a Tongan eat?
I don't know. Presumably the same thing that the rest of us eat. It's not like they're not, they do walk upright and everything. It's not like they're not an alien race. They just live on an island.
I'm speaking ethnically.
I don't know.
So they eat native, things? Whatever might be found on that island?
Yes, Tim, they just live in trees and eat bamboo shoots. I don't know. I don't think there's room to grow anything on Tonga. Literally, it's like living in one of those Sunglass Hut kiosks at the mall. That's Tonga right there. You know what I mean? You go to Lloyd's Center and there's the woman at the battery stop kiosk where they're just selling you like D-cells for your child's video game. That's what Tonga is. We should move off of this subject.
Well, Exxon CEO says, don't like gas prices? Use less of our stuff. That from Exxon Chief Executive Rex Tillerson. Critics say the big oil companies have gotten together to crush competition and manipulate prices.
Mm-hmm.
On the Today Show, Mr. Tillerson says that is absolutely untrue.
We do not get together and manipulate prices. That would be illegal. There have been any number of investigations into our industry over the last 20 to 30 years. None of those have ever found any evidence of price collusion. In terms of our influence on the market, even after the merger of ExxonMobil, we have a little over 13,000 branded service stations around the country. That represents only 8% of the market, and our market share of gasoline sales is actually down from where it was in pre-merger.
All right, okay, first of all, is this the guy with a huge waddle?
I've never seen him walk.
The chin thing, the pelican pouch.
No, that's
the George Lucas.
The super rich guy?
You know, the inflatable throat that the reptiles have to attract mates and scare off predators?
I don't believe so, no. This is a different fellow.
This is not the fat bastard guy that was on Drudge, where he looked like his face was sliding away from him?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's, by the way, for you playing the Rick Emerson home game, here's how you can tell when somebody is doing something illegal. They use the phrase, that would be illegal. When talking about, doesn't matter what, I don't care what it is. Anytime you're talking to somebody, anytime you're hearing a discussion, you're reading an interview, if at any point during the conversation, you hear the following phrases, that would be illegal, or, what you should not do is, or, this company takes a very, very dim view of, sometimes you'll read this in employee manuals, by the way, where it's like a lot of, this company takes a very harsh view of, like, insert thing that everybody clearly does that they're, like, having to legally distance themselves from. That's obviously what's going on here.
Tillerson says the oil companies can't be blamed for the high prices.
Well, I think our responsibility, Matt, is to ensure that people have the energy they need to go about their daily lives, to continue to support the economy, the economic growth in this country and the world over. And to do that, you have to have energy.
All right. I'm just going to skip the... Here's the other way you can tell that a guy is an oily weasel who's trying to ingratiate himself with the media.
He has a southern accent.
Yes, he works for an oil company. That's how you can tell. You can tell he's lying because his mouth is moving. No, he's... You can tell because he... It's that thing that politicians do, too, where they're sitting with a guy they clearly don't know and will never talk to again, but they really awkwardly try to jam in the first name. Well, Matt, let me tell you, anytime they start it, because it's a psychological tactic that they teach you if you're a rhetorician, if you take any kind of debate or public speaking class, they tell you to do that because it psychologically disarms the other person. Do this sometime. Next time you're in there talking to if you're talking to a cop, talking to a doctor, talking to anybody like that, try using their first name instead of calling them by the title. You'll find that, A, it's incredibly difficult to do, and, B, if you do it, it makes them really uncomfortable. And so that's how you can tell that he's trying to foist off some big pile of swindleless garbage onto us, because he's using the guy's first name.
Meanwhile, the White House has released the long-awaited strategy for dealing with the bird flu. Bird flu advisor Fran Townsend says, here's what to do.
We cannot forget that a pandemic occurs because of the spread of the virus from one person to another. This means that individual actions are perhaps the most important element of our preparedness and response activities. We depend on everyone outside of the government to take this as seriously as we do.
Is it like your own? It's every man for himself. It sounded like one of those things you get when you call, like, if you ever call one of those phone numbers where it's like the dial-a-nurse,
mm-hmm.
where it's like you got like some inflamed, you know, like splinter in your hand or something, or you've shot yourself in the eye with a rivet gun, and you call and it's, if you have gout, press 1. If you have shot yourself in the face with a bow and arrow, press 2. And then there's, like, the nurse giving you the advice. That's totally what that sounds. First of all, I should note that everybody has stopped caring about bird flu, and trying to make us care about it is pointless. It's an exercise in futility. We moved on to other things. We moved on to immigrants for, like, a day and a half. Tomorrow it'll be something else. We've all moved off of avian flu.
Well, today it's high-calorie soft drinks. They're being pulled from all schools nationwide, according to Bill Clinton.
The beverage industry will cover 75% of the nation's schools, public and private, by these standards by the beginning of the 2008-2009 school year. And all students should be covered by them by the beginning of the following school year, 2009-2010.
Well, it doesn't really matter, because at the rate that American kids are getting... Have you noticed this? Do you ever go to the... Do you ever go to, like, the food court? And I know you do. You go to, especially in my neighborhood, you go to the Lloyd Center food court, not to pick on. I'm sure they're fine people. But the folks that I see at that food court, American children are getting fat enough, and it's happening early enough, that they're all developing, they've all got, like, those little stubby T-Rex arms. You know what I mean? Where they're like, you'll see the kid at the table, and he's got... Just the total tonnage of these children, the total girth, they're like small, fat, loudmouthed planets rotating around the sun, which is the equally fat parent. And so the kid will sit down there like, at whatever, like a greasy snack shack. And he's sitting there and he's trying to eat something, but his stomach is actually so large that it's pushing him away from the table. And then he's scrabbling, trying to pick up every last deep-fried chicken strip. But he's got these arms that are just becoming weak and ineffectual. So all of the little fat, I'm all for putting more soda, more fattening foods, more candy. Just like I'm all for leaving drugs just laying around for addicts to have. Because then the problem just sort of, then it just sort of works itself out. You know what I mean? And so those fat children, they will grow up and they will die early, and they will leave more and better jobs for the rest of us.
Meanwhile, microwave popcorn bags pose a health risk, according to a new study. The chemical which is used to make the bags grease resistant have caused cancer in the animals who eat these bags of microwave popcorn.
So try not to eat the bag when you're done.
DuPont, which makes the coating, says don't worry about
it. DuPont. Do you ever see some product? It's like a food product, and you look at the parent company, and it's like, you know, it's like Industrial Carbide and Chemical Solvents Incorporated.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like an apple or something. All right.
I have two Florida stories. Two stories from the state of Florida.
All right. We go once again. Thank you.
Disney World will offer a tamer version of the attraction thrill ride Mission Space. Less than 3 weeks after a woman became ill on the ride and later died. Beginning this summer, Epcot guests will have
a tamer version. Tamer in this context meaning non-lethal.
There will be two options. Sissies. There will be two options when it comes with a ride. The one that does not.
I was just going to say, which you prefer? Quick and painless, press A. Slow and horrible, press B.
Yeah, some people are prone to motion sickness and other conditions. By offering a second adventure, we hope to broaden the appeal of Mission Space to those who choose life.
Where's that ride that kills you? Can I get a fast pass for that?
Why don't you send the kids on it? We'll wait here.
Can I get an e-ticket for just all the lethal rides? Jesus. Rolling out their new ride, the Kill-A-Lot.
Disney will also provide health advisories appropriate for each experience.
may cause death.
May cause death.
Okay. All right. Good times.
Let's see. A 49-year-old died after she went on the ride. She died of bleeding to the brain.
Okay.
Another suffered from a seizure after having high blood pressure, according to a medical examiner's office.
Well, you know, there's got to be some...
They watered down this ride. After taking the woman from it.
I was going to say they had to get something to get the blood out. Schadenfreude. Here the thing is that you don't even really need to change the ride. You could just repackage it as some sort of extreme ride. You know what I mean? I don't even think that, like, if you just have the appropriate disclosures and health forms, a guy signs a release or whatever, you could be a sissy if you like, and you could ride this one that's all tested and safe and rubberized and won't kill you, or you could ride the Widowmaker, and that's all they do, and you market it to those same guys that go and they want to base jump off things that are only 40 feet off the ground.
And a boy died after riding Mission Space, which apparently was designed by NASA, the same people who made the space shuttle. Then someone else died of an irregular heartbeat. Then someone else with thickening of the heart muscle.
thickening of the heart muscle. I don't even know what it is, and it sounds all distasteful to Oogie. Should we break?
Yeah. A family of four can go to Disney World for $1,500.
Does not include cost of casket. Okay. That's part of the irreverent news that we're known here. We're known for here at AM 970. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten's going to be here. We're going to talk about the fat little corpulent children going to schools everywhere. Later on, Jim Roop will be here. We'll have Charles Ross from One Man Star Wars in the house, as it were. And we'll get to another installment of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you want to email, you can do it as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right. Coming up later on today, Xbox Files, Jim Roop. It's the worst song you've ever heard. Somebody asking if Nate's going to be moving in with former intern Kyle. We had this whole thing. We'll get to, we'll talk to Gary Baumgarten here from New York City just a second, then we'll get back to the city desk with Tim Riley. But, so we had, this whole thing yesterday. This is like when you watch a show and the further you get into the season, the previously on has to become, like it's got to be longer, but then every bit's got to be shorter. Like they've got, do you ever watch like the season finale or something and they're trying to recap three seasons worth of story arc in like 10 seconds? So we inadvertently broke up Sarah and her boyfriend for like 2 hours last week because we sabotaged her boyfriend's plan to get a new apartment because we called his prospective female roommate a hoe. For reasons that were clearly indicative of hoeness. And so now I felt all morally obligated to find Nate a place to live because I don't want to be the guy. This show is all about positivity. This show is all about an uplifting together kind of vibe. I just don't want to, what's that?
It's about possibility.
It's about a new and better you. No, if you want to get yourself into the business world, you know what this show is? The show is about solutions. I don't want to be the show that just ruins relationships and drives people to suicide. That's fine to have that as like a little ancillary product here, but we were trying to find Nate a place to live. And then former intern Kyle called up and he's like, yo, he can kick it here at my crib or Izzle or whatever it is that Kyle says. And people asking if Nate is really going to live. And this is guy emailed in, Scott emailed in and he said, if Nate is going to live with, where did I put it? He said, if Nate is really going to live with Kyle, how much longer do you think that relationship's going to last? How long before he's found dead, caked in his own vomit? I don't really know the answer, but I would suspect the answer to that at his current place of residence is probably 3 or 4 days. It's 503-733-2970.
Looks like he's going to be able to stay in this new place. I'll fill you in a little bit.
He's telling you, he's missing out if he doesn't move in with Kyle.
His house is really far out. We map-quested it, and it's not in Portland proper.
He's got the best dude house ever. The best dude house I've ever seen. It's not even a dude house. It's like a sprawling dude cave.
Oh, you've seen the one he lives in now?
I think so, if it's the same one I played poker at. It's fantastic. It's like, I think if I'm thinking of that same house, I think they actually cut the door of the refrigerator out and like the tube from the keg just comes like right out of the fridge. Like you don't even need to open the fridge. It's like the little sneaky medical tube just comes right out and bring your beer right out of it. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the city that never sleeps.
I love New York City. Oh yeah. New York City.
Word. Let's talk to our good friend, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. How are you, Gary?
Hey, you're all about solutions. I'm telling you, you thought people were united against the draconian immigration laws. You just wait till the kids of this country get together and march in the millions demanding soda pop.
Here's the thing. Look at you with a seamless segue. That's why you got the CNN gig and no one else does. Portland is a land of a few things. Portland is a land of hippies. It's a land of rednecks. It's a land of beer. It's a land of caffeine. It's a land of technology. It's a land of timber. It's also a land of freakish and humorless health nuts who want to remove everything that is good or enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to see that that's spreading, though, that we're not alone in that plague. So you guys got that now. And as I've talked to Jim Roop about this, everything that starts in either New York or L.A. eventually comes here. So by talking to you, we get ahead of the curve. We're on bleeding edge of societal evolution.
That's right. That's why everybody should be listening to this station.
Thank you, my friend. I pray. Can we just get... do you think the CNN people would oppose it if we just had to, like on CNN, they'll do those... CNN brings you cutting news with... whoever's on CNN, who's on CNN, Anderson Cooper?
Yeah.
Sure.
Anderson Cooper, and then it's like him turning towards the camera, and like his tooth makes that little ting sound.
That's right. You want me to turn toward the camera?
I'm just saying, we'll get a whole bunch of you CNN guys. When CNN needs talk radio, they choose the Rick Emerson Show. I can hear that in my head. Anyway, so they got this whole thing where they're trying to take sodas out of the nation's high schools because children are becoming... fatter. It's not like they're becoming fat. Let's not delude ourselves here. It's not like they were all... it's not like we're all Karen Carpenter yesterday. Yeah, children have been fat in this country for... we're a fat people, Gary. It's what we are. It's one of our defining characteristics.
Sad, isn't it? Well, what's happened is that former President Bill Clinton's foundation brokered this deal with the major manufacturers and distributors of soda here in the United States, and they have agreed to stop delivering to the nation's schools soda pop that has sugar in it. So you'll be able to get diet soda in the high schools, and the only thing that they will be delivering to the middle schools and the elementary schools are water, fruit juice, and low-fat milk.
It's going to be a fun time to be a student.
It will be fun. Well, when I went to school, they didn't have soda. That was something, we had milk. We had our choice. We had our bottled back then white milk, or we had our bottled chocolate milk.
Let's be honest, not like milk is much better. Milk is really not good for you unless you're a very small cow.
Mm.
I mean, if you really look, and I drink it, don't get me wrong, but I'm under no illusion that milk is health food. So milk is really just a big glass of fat, which is fine with me. I'm all for embracing these things. But I don't know. It really does seem like, I don't mean to be all backward about this, but it does seem like maybe since children can't actually read or write anything, and since they fail every test that they're given, and since our schools are imploding and our educational infrastructure is in shambles and ruins, and we're like number 595 on the I can add 2+2 together list, maybe they're picking the wrong fight at this point in time. What do you think?
Well, let's just say in fairness to former President Clinton, this is an issue that's near and dear to his heart, literally, because he's the guy who used to eat the McDonald's and he bloated up and had to have his heart worked on here in New York City, and now he's a born-again nutritionist, I guess. I can understand why it's... But your point is well taken, because I think it was just yesterday National Geographic released a study that indicated that the majority of us, and that includes the adults, don't know our geography, and we don't even know where things are located, even in this country, where major events have occurred, Louisiana and Mississippi.
You know, this thing with Bill Clinton, though, this is so emblematic of baby boomers and everything that they do, and I'm like the 5,000th person to make this observation, but the modus operandi for every baby boomer is to, as soon as they hit a certain age where they start to feel badly about the things they did, suddenly they want to remove anything the baby boomer did and enjoyed in his youth is something they're going to make sure that young people today can't do. Don't do drugs. Don't have anything with sugar. Don't have sex ever.
Hey, don't chase the pesticide truck as it goes down the street.
Hey, real quickly.
And run in a cloud of pesticides.
Let me ask you this real quickly. Is David Blaine, he's that magician guy, is that in New York where he's like living in a... he's living in a vat of Jell-O or something?
Yeah, I guess. I haven't been over there to see him, and he's only a couple blocks from Time Warner Center, because when he did whatever he's doing, I was out covering the immigrants, which was a more important story, I guess, than David Blaine. But if I had known that was the story that you wanted me on, I would have been there.
Thank you. Well, maybe tomorrow can I get...
Miles O'Brien was here this morning.
How much O'Brien?
Talking to a guy in a bubble.
How much O'Brien?
Miles O'Brien.
Thank you. David Blaine bugs me, and he's one of those guys, and I found a lot of people who are simpatico with me on this. I don't have any reason to hate David Blaine. He's never done anything to me. He doesn't owe me money. He's never hit me on the head with anything. But he irritates me. Am I alone on this? Let's go to the room. Sarah, does David Blaine bug you?
I don't really feel either way toward him.
Tim Riley.
He's a poor man's Houdini.
All right. Well, everybody kind of is. Oh, he just irritates me. I don't know why. He just bugs
me. Maybe it's his attitude. I didn't like his attitude when I interviewed him during his last stunt when he froze himself in a block of ice or something.
Whatever. That and the fact that he got to sleep with Fiona Apple.
Well, he does have some hot ladies on his arm all the time.
Yeah. That's pretty good looking.
All right.
It seems...
Well...
Do you find him good looking?
Yeah, but he seems kind of stupid.
Seems deeply dumb.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
He's stupid all the way to the bank.
If we can get you to go by and hang out, then just take
I'll try to stop by there tomorrow. I don't know whether I'll get a chance to. I don't know how you would talk to somebody who's encased like that, but I'll swing by and at least get a.
I suggest bringing a hammer.
Maybe
a chisel. Yeah.
You have to get someone to take a picture of you.
Sledgehammer.
Yeah, you should.
A crowbar. Do you think I could get up there with a crowbar?
I'm saying.
Security would grab me.
Well, you know what? Meeting David Blaine at this point is kind of like, meeting David Blaine at this point is I don't know. It's kind of like meeting, Well, that joke just fell flat because what I was going to do is I was going to insert a dead guy. Give me a dead guy, Tim.
Houdini.
W.C. Fields. I was going to say all it takes is persistence and a shovel. Ah, see how funny that joke would have been had I been able to conjure up a dead guy? Can you get yourself a picture
of you and Bubble Boy? Get it.
You next to David Blaine in the bubble?
Yeah, I could actually do that. You want it to post on your website?
Yeah, just do that and like email it to us.
I could actually do that. Yeah. I have a buddy, a photographer, who would be happy
you
to do that.
Email that to like rick@rickemerson.com.
You got it.
Great. Thank you, Gary.
See you later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Baumgarten live in New York City. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, anyway, torture and inhumane treatment are widespread in U.S.-run prisons in Afghanistan, Iraq, Cuba, and elsewhere, despite Washington's denials. This is according to Amnesty International. The U.S. is known for extreme acts of cruelty, which are compatible with the Global Convention barring all forms of cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment. So, well,
that's what sets us apart from other stations, by the way. That's the it's my grandmother's answer to everything. Didn't matter what it was. Grandma, the house is on fire, and my sister's covered in aphids. You know, she would just go, "Well, what can you do?" And then it was like, go back to watching television. It was either, "What can you do?" Or, well, you know how it goes. And then it's like back with the clicker. Here's Tim Riley.
What really came between Paris Hilton and Stavros Nachos? Could have been Mean Girls vixen Lindsay Lohan. Party heiress Hilton and shipping heiress Nachos are reportedly split. But just hours after Hilton recently left the U.S. for Australia, Nachos was spotted sipping cocktails and dirty dancing.
Here's how out of touch I am.
Lohan.
I don't even know if his name is really Nachos. Sarah?
It looks like it to me.
It looks like Nachos.
All right. That's one of those names that's only good if you're rich, because then if anybody makes fun of you, you can have them killed.
Yep.
He was what with who?
He was canoodling with Lindsay Lohan.
And Paris Hilton stole him from Mary-Kate Olsen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, right after they broke up.
Man, you know, it's like...
What does he have? I thought that they were going to break up anyway, because he could barely speak
other
English.
Other than scabies, probably. No, you know, here's the thing. Is that it's like one ugly girl after another. Paris Hilton's ugly. Mary-Kate Olsen is... I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you're... It's going to be canoodling with a stick. I mean, it's there's just no point. It's, Might as well go have sex with a cheese grater.
Paul Abdul says Simon Cowell may want to marry her. She was interviewed by Tyra Banks, who asked if working with Cowell is as bad as working with Janice Dickinson. I used to work with Janice on America's Next Top Model, and they kind of remind me of each other, the model-turned-talk show host said in a segment of the Tyra Banks Show, which airs today. That's a great analogy, because there were times where you just laugh and there were times when you cry, responded Abdul. I try to watch the performer on stage, and you can see him suggesting, I like this little boy... Who said this?
I'm so confused. Sarah?
Wait, I don't understand. Who said what about whom?
I don't even understand what the story's about.
This is Paula Abdul saying Simon Cowell wants to marry her. That's the guy on America's...
Does Paula Abdul have a book or something coming out? Because this
is like
the ninth clip we've had of her, interview we've had from her in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I don't... okay. I'm just going to hold back while you finish.
I'll move on. Then Avril Lavigne wants to get hitched this summer, but her family is reporting her to ask her... she wants to wait a little bit longer. The complicated singer wants to marry some 41s. That must be some kind of rock band, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Derek Whibley, whose name is spelled crazily,
With a Q?
No, it's D-E-R-Y-C-K.
Oh, well, that's one of those stupid modern spellings of, yeah. I've lost count of the number of ways I've seen, like, Jamie spelled and Erica. I've moved on.
Well, let's go back to Florida where things make sense.
Here's the thing about being in a band, and you guys, you want to know this. It really is true. Somebody there is a great maxim. It's sort of this formula that I saw broken out a few years ago for being in a band. Really, here's the thing. If you have one big hit single, you'll get sporadic work the rest of your life. If you are like, you know what I heard yesterday while I was standing in the K-Hits lobby? I heard Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jacks.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the worst song.
Dee-dee-dee-dee.
Stop.
Dee-dee-dee-dee.
It's terrible. Seasons in the Sun is one of those songs that everybody sort of is culturally aware of, but, like, you don't ever really sit and listen to it. Like, no one goes to the bar and says, where's the jukebox? I must hear Seasons in the Sun.
And after that, I want to hear Billy Don't Be a Hero.
And then I want to hear Honey by Bobby Goldsboro.
And Alone Again Naturally, Gilbert O'Sullivan. Yeah.
Sarah's just got that blank look on her face.
I don't know what the season song is.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the something and the men and the candy is all gone.
Candy is all gone?
Something. It's
well, your
summer.
Parents were romancing. They're probably listening to that on AM radio.
When your parents were holding each other close.
Okay, don't start. Stop it.
Father was trying
Stop
to
it.
Think if
Stop
he could
it.
Do the brawl one-handed.
Stop it.
it's a terrible song. It's an awful song. And no, look, not to knock K-Hits. I'm sure they're a fine radio station.
There are lots of people who like that type of music.
I am not one of those people. And so, but it's the worst song. And it's a song that was a huge hit. But, like, incidentally, like no one seeks out Seasons in the Sun. So I'm in the lobby and I hear it and it does that horrible 70s thing where at the end they do the chorus and it goes up a step like 9 times in a row. Like, we had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons.
Like, we are the world.
Yeah, we had joy, we had fun. And at the end, it's like only Dogs and Jolie can hear like the final chorus because it's in such a high register. What was my point here? Oh, so if you have one song like that, you'll get sporadic work forever. That guy, Terry Jacks, has a yacht. He lives on a freaking yacht off the coast of, like, the Serengeti. And it's a yacht called Seasons in the Sun. Paid for the whole yacht, one song. Sporadic work the rest of his life. If you have two songs, if you have two hits, you will be able to tour for the rest of your life.
You can play at Spirit Mountain Casino.
That's exactly what it is. You'll play at Spirit Mountain Casino. Every time a radio station does some festival, some package concert, you'll be invited to play. You'll come out. You'll open with some song nobody knows. It may be two songs nobody knows. Then you'll play one of your big hits. Then it's a lot of crap, a drum solo, guitar solo. You do a crowd sing-along. You play a couple covers. Then you end with your one big other hit. And that's it. And there you go, baby. And that's the rest of your life. Plus, as a bonus, you will get to marry some hot girl. See Derek Whibley from Sum 41. Sum 41, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not really down with the kids these days. But didn't Sum 41 only have the one song? Didn't they just have the Fat Lip song? Wasn't that it?
Yeah, well, that was their one, like, big song.
And that's the one that, you know,
they released, like, 10 albums.
It's like they're rolling through the party like My Name Was El Nino, and then something, something, Back of an El Camino. That's it.
That could be Terry Jacks' second song.
There you go. That it's like that idiot from Space Hog. Who remembers Space Hog, kids?
Is that the anorexic guy?
It's that song, In the Meantime. And it goes,
oh, yeah.
It has the beginning, it goes, ooh, wow, 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 wow. Ooh, wow, wow, wow. You know that? That
yes, guy, I know exactly what song
that guy goes to bed with Liv Tyler every night. You go to bed at home. You go to bed tired, bored, alone, sad, filled with self-loathing and drunk. That guy's going to bed with an elfin princess. It's not fair. but one song! One bad song! And that guy has Liv Tyler. So kids, drop out of school right now and learn how to play a solid A chord. That's all I'm saying.
Dee-dee-dee-dee.
Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, with that in mind, it's time to go to Florida, where things make sense
all
the time.
Sorry, let's go to Florida. Thank you.
Dateline Jacksonville. Is that where Richard Nunn lives now?
I got an email from Richard Nunn this morning. This morning, did you know that? Did I tell you this?
No.
Because otherwise, that's just weird. No, this morning, I've done that like 3 different times today where I've gone to talk to somebody, and as I'm going to find them, they will come around the corner to talk to me about the thing.
Wow.
Like this morning, Will comes around the corner just as I'm going to find him, and it was around the same
You're
thing.
You're kind of kooky today.
I'm saying it was very strange. Here's the thing.
Chocolate coffee.
That's a lot of blackout. All I'm saying is I got an email from Richard Nunn this morning. Richard Nunn, who was the erstwhile weatherman of the WB, then at the Fox, then he moved to Florida. But he is, no offense to the Ronk, Mark Ronchetti, but Richard Nunn is the greatest meteorologist in the history of the world. I haven't heard from him in like a year and a half. He emailed me this morning, and the subject line was Richard M.F. and Nunn. And then he's like, you know, heard you're kicking it on the 970, you know, like, rock! You know, and then he signed it like, horse! You know, Richard,
I
and that's
he's
it.
He's coming back to visit sometime soon.
God, love him. All right.
We'll have to have him on.
I'd consider switching for Richard Nunn.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
What was
I'm
that?
I'm just screwing with you. No, he's Richard Nunn. He's a fun,
okay.
He's
no, you said it.
Charismatic
okay.
man. Well, look, I know that you wanted to be Byron, but you know, what are you going to do?
All right.
Can Tim speak now?
Let's move along. After being told by her apartment complex that it was not the management's responsibility to remove a snake from her porch, a Jacksonville woman set the reptile and her apartment on fire.
Okay.
Chatavia Kearney.
Chatavia?
Uh-huh.
That's like three real names shoved together into a brand new fake one.
I wonder how difficult it is for her to get a job.
Well, Chatavia, that's like when...
Please say Chatavia. At the
that's like when Lucy Ricardo was pitching the Meat-A-Vita Vegemin.
Oh, yeah.
Chatavia. Okay, whatever.
Well, Chatavia called the Charter Landing apartment office Sunday
yeah.
afternoon.
I'm sure prospective employers get right back to her.
And asked someone to remove that snake from her porch.
Okay.
The 19-year-old told police she was told to deal with the situation herself. So, she doused the snake with a flammable liquid and set it on fire.
Well, what are you going to do?
In the process, the vinyl siding caught fire and charred
and
melted
siding.
In two places.
The vinyl siding caught fire. That's fantastic. Oh, man.
And due to the property values in Jacksonville, total damage was $1,000. The snake was worth more
you
than the
actually...
Total damage from the fire, $1,000. You having a good time over there, Richard Nunn?
You are kidding me.
No, here it is. The total damage is $1,000.
Jesus God.
Chatavia, you should be ashamed of yourself for destroying your homestead.
apparently there's a vacancy if you'd like to go live at the Charter Landing Apartments in Jacksonville. The house caught on fire. Total damage was $1,000. Oh, my God. She don't even live in a box. It's like she lives in the box that the box came in.
The snake lives better.
Not anymore. Oh, that's fantastic. And by the way, let's note, I'm going to make this, I want to make this observation here. Chatavia Kearney. Now note that I am not going to add anything to this story.
No, you needn't.
I'm not going to add anything to the story. I'm simply going to read it.
Somebody at the door. Come in, won't you?
Hi. Hi, I'm just passing through, working my way through college. There's somebody out here to see you.
Oh,
do they have an appointment?
Is he holding a lightsaber?
No.
Are they armed?
Is he Charles Ross?
No.
Is it Charles Manson?
We have one more question.
I have no idea who it is.
I don't either.
Okay.
Send them on their way.
Did you ask? He said, oh, no.
We're not.
Oh, this is. By the way, this is Carol from the front desk. She's the gatekeeper, the keymaster.
She is.
She's like the mouth of Sauron in Return of the King. Mm-hmm. You must pass through her. I mean that in a good way.
I know.
Without the extra teeth. that you must pass through her. So there's a guest.
I put them on.
Well, I'll come out and find them here in just a couple minutes.
Thank you
so much. Not at all, Carol. Thank you.
I'm business with you.
All right.
People always say they have appointments here.
All right. Well, now that the comedic flow of my Chatavia... all I'm going to point is the Chatavia Kearney story
okay,
here.
Okay, I'm glad you finished that word. I'm like, what is he saying?
No, Chatavia. My Chatavia... Her name is... Yeah.
Yeah.
All the Chatavia Kearney thing here... All I'm going to say is this. Just going to read you the story. Not going to add anything to this.
You needn't. It's all there.
Chatavia Kearney, who again set fire to her house, causing $1,000 in damage... Note that all they refer to it as is Kearney doused the snake. And by the way, doesn't dousing the snake sound like some sort of a euphemism for something?
It does.
Baby, we got... Baby, it's one of those nights. I got to douse the snake. She doused the snake with what the paper euphemistically refers to as... a flammable liquid. All right. I'm not going to pass judgment about what sort of flammable liquid Shatavia Kearney in Jacksonville, Florida, probably had in her hand at any given moment during that day.
Whiskey.
While watching her stories. You said whiskey. That wasn't me. I have
on the picture box.
$1,000 in damage. All right. It's 503. What the hell is the number? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. We got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop going to join us later on. And we're going to talk about apparently somebody won something in California, and so there was raping and pillaging and looting and burning. We'll talk about the Jon Bon Jovi country star. Charles Ross will be here. One Man Star Wars. Xbox Files coming up. More of your phone calls. Like us at 3, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay there.
As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs want to see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. And there goes the last DJ, who plays what he wants to play. What he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last.